As God, the Holy Spirit, will enable me, I want to preach to you tonight from Numbers chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 4. My subject is Levite labor. Numbers chapter 4. Let's read just a portion of this chapter and get the setting here. Numbers chapter 4, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the Levi after their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of showbread shall they spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put it in the staves thereof, or shall put in the staves thereof. Verse 9, and they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light and his lamps and his tongs and his snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto it. And they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and shall put to the staves thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry, wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skins, and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put on upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, all the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put to the staves of it. In the next verses, we read about the responsibilities of Gershom, Merari, and their sons. Some were to bear heavy, heavy burdens. Some were to take care of the furnishings in the tabernacle, those heavy, large pieces of furniture. Others were appointed to carry boards and sockets of silver. Others carried loads of curtains and coverings and cords. And some carried the nails and the cords that held the tabernacle in place. Then in verses 46 to the end of the chapter, we read, verse 46, all those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered, after their families and after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that came to the service of the ministry and to the service of the burden of the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them were 8,000, and 84 score, 8,580. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, every one according to his service, and according to his burden. Thus were they numbered of him, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, as you read that with me, I suspect you thought, as I did when I first read the chapter, thinking about preaching from it several weeks ago, what on earth does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with me? What does it have to do with you? If you'll give me your attention for just a few minutes, I believe I will show you some things that will be helpful to you as you look at the scriptures with me. Remember, the tribe of Levi was taken from the tribes of Israel instead of the firstborn. God laid claim to the firstborn of all. He said back in Exodus chapter 13, "Sanctify unto me the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." And he says concerning the tribe of Levi, "I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of the firstborn." I've taken the Levites for the firstborn. So the Levites being taken as God's people for the firstborn, they are the priestly office among the children of Israel. And as such, they're typical, obviously, of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who is Jehovah's firstborn. The law of the firstborn, I have no question at all, is principally prophetic of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come into this world, the virgin-born Son of God. The firstborn, we're told specifically, opens the womb in birth. But that's not what happens. The only firstborn who ever opened his womb, his mother's womb in birth, was the Lord Jesus, the virgin-born Son of God. The womb is opened in conception, not in birth, except in this case. Our Lord Jesus was born of the virgin, the seed of the woman. He came here as a man without an earthly father, a man who is God, that he might redeem his people from their sins. He opened the virgin's womb that he might accomplish redemption both for his mother and for you and I, his people. He's the firstborn. As such, he's our high priest, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hold your hands here in Numbers and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. I want you to look at a couple of chapters here. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." As he saith also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. What a statement concerning our Savior. He offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. This man, who is himself God, as our great high priest, offered up prayers with strong crying and tears, and was heard in that he feared. Verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Skip over to chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. This Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace. Our Lord Jesus, he is the king of righteousness. He is the king of peace. Without father, without mother, without beginning of days, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it was written that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Why would we need a priest, another priest like Melchizedek, if the priesthood of Aaron, the Levites, and those who followed should bring perfection? Those things were never intended for that purpose. They were intended to be pictures of Christ who would come. Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. Who is this other one? Who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before, for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, that is, by the oath and promise of God. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now watch this. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, for first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once. This one who's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek offered up sacrifice for his own sins and for the people's at one time when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore, Jesus Christ, our high priest, with one sacrifice. Sacrifice by which he satisfies justice for himself when he was made sin for us, and satisfies justice for his people by the sacrifice of himself. Without question, the Levites were also symbolic of faithful gospel preachers. Those men who labor in the word and doctrine of God, who labor in the service of God's Israel. Gospel preachers are not priests. Let no one ever think of a preacher as a priest. Sadly, preachers these days like to be treated as priests, and they like to treat people as though they were priests. That's the whole basis of this silly, insane pastoral counseling business that goes on all over the world. I am not your priest. I can't do anything for you. I can't make any sacrifice to God for you. I can't show you the will of God for you. I can't tell you what God would have you to do in any circumstance. Someone just wrote to me the other day asking me about moving somewhere. And I wrote him back and I said, I ceased a long time ago trying to tell another man what God would have him to do. That is not my business. That is not my business. You seek the will of God, I'll preach the gospel to you. You seek the will of God, I'll show you what his book teaches. But I cannot be the Spirit of God for you, and I will not pretend to be a priest for you. But like the Levites, those men who preached the gospel. Faithful men. They lived to serve the house of God. And they lived to serve the people of God. Read Ephesians chapter 4 again. Read it carefully. Pastors, evangelists, teachers. These men who are pastors, evangelists, teachers, and a pastor is all three. These men who are pastors, evangelists, teachers in the house of God, they are the ascension gifts of Christ to his church. They labor in the house of God in the word. They labor in the word. They labor in the word. Sadly, there are few preachers I know who labor in the word. And it's a reproach for them. There are few preachers I know who labor in the word. God's servants do. They labor in the doctrine. They labor seeking a message from God for your souls. Their work, like the work of the Levites in Numbers 4, is a work. It's a burden. It's a load. It's a weight. It's a labor. A lifelong toil and labor. Those Levites certainly are representative of God's servants, faithful gospel preachers. And these Levites were typical of all believers as well. We who are God's elect are God's royal priesthood. We're called the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. As such, we're God's Levites, God's royal priesthood. And here in Numbers chapter 4, the Lord God tells us how we are to serve him as his royal priesthood. You who are God's. You who are God's are priests. Men and women who live upon holy things. Men and women who live in the house of God, in the presence of God, serving God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great head of the church, calls his redeemed, all his redeemed, to his service. He lays upon each one a burden which no one else can or should carry. Did you hear me? If you're God's, you're called of God to a work, you have a burden, you have a responsibility in life as the priest of God that no one else can carry. It's yours. It should be our joy as believers to know what it is our shoulders were made to carry. And we should gladly take up the ennobling load. Oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. God has made us his sons and daughters. And making us his sons and daughters, God has made us his priest, his Levites, his servants. The people called of God to serve his church in our generation. He said, you shall be my witnesses. He breathed on his church and gave us the Spirit of God and said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. We are sent for the very same purpose as our Redeemer was sent, for the saving of his elect, for the ingathering of his people, in the moving of the tabernacle. All the belongings in the tabernacle from place to place, there was a tremendous division of labor. As we would think, the work of the Gershonites looking after curtains could easily have been done by a few people, but the Lord God chose 2,600 people to do it. Certainly, this teaches us that no work done for God is small, trifling, or insignificant. No work done for God. Small, trifling, or insignificant. I just told you a little bit ago about the experience that David and Betty are going through. It's an opportunity for you. Opportunity for you to serve. A call, a visit, pick up some groceries, take them over. Care. Oh, what a privilege to serve God's people in their need. We have a responsibility to do what God puts in our hands to do for His glory and the good of His people. The packing up of these holy vessels was done by Aaron and his sons, consecrated hands, hands chosen of God for this work, hands belonging to men named of God for this work. God said, I put this work in your hands. You fold up the curtains. You spread those blue cloths over the furnishings of the tabernacle. And they're set to give, to do certain things. The bearers of the tabernacle and the furnishings of the tabernacle were these three families, the family of the Levites, Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. I'm just guessing at Merari. Let me show you three or four things concerning them. First, their work was varied. The sons of Merari had the charge of the foundational things. Sockets, pillars, boards, bars, and pins. In the setting up of the tabernacle, those sockets and pillars would be the very first thing that had to be set in their place. Foundation truths are essential. Foundation truths are to be laid in the house of God. Certainly this is the work of the evangelist, but it's the work equally of you who are God's. As you communicate the gospel to folks, we lay foundation truths continually. William Romaine used to say that no sermon should be preached that didn't have the three R's. Ruin by the fall, redemption by the blood, regeneration by the Holy Spirit. He's right. These are foundation truths. And here the foundation things have to do with redemption. Redemption by the precious blood of Christ. The silver sockets speak of that because they were made from the ransom price given for the souls of the people. Redeeming blood is first. First in order of priority. First in order of witnessing. First in order of proclaiming the gospel. We proclaim God's sovereignty in the substitutionary sacrifice of His darling Son, by which He satisfied His justice and did so with success. The sons of Gershom had the charge also of uniting things. They had the coverings, the curtains, and the hangings. They took the sockets and pillars that were set out here by their brethren, but those sockets and pillars are meaningless. The boards are meaningless without the coverings. The coverings, in fact, is what ties it all together. The coverings brings it all together. Without the coverings, there wasn't any tabernacle at all. This, too, is the work of the pastor and the work of God's people. We are, in fact, one in Christ. One body, one family, one church, one kingdom. One in Christ. Being His witnesses, we as one are entrusted with the gospel in this generation. And being one in Christ, we testify one blessed experience of grace. One blessed doctrine of grace. The sons of Kohath then had the charge of those things by which men would approach God. The vessels of the sanctuary. The vessels were placed in position, and by being in the positions they were in, they indicated the way to God. Come, let me show you the way. Let me show you the way. I have a picture sitting on one of my bookshelves behind my desk in the office. Some of you ladies who clean have noticed it. When Will was just a little boy, we were with them down in Destin, Florida, at the beach, and Will and I are walking down the beach, and I'm leaning over about as far as I can, holding his hand, And Faith got a picture of us, just me guiding him along the way. That's what we are to do with God's people, God's children. Take them by the hand and lead them. Take them by the hand and show them the way of life, of faith, of righteousness. The sons of Kohath had the charge of those things by which we approach God. And thus, the man who preaches the gospel teaches sinners how to come to God. You come to God by faith in His Son. You come to God believing on His Son. Not by believing certain doctrines. Not by believing certain creeds. Not by being able to recite certain words. But by believing on His Son. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is the testimony of the apostle. It is the testimony of God's book. We call sinners to life in Christ by faith in Him. These gifts belong to the church just as really as they belong to the tabernacle. Our Lord Jesus gave some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Every pastor is an evangelist and a teacher. Not all of you are called to be pastors, evangelists, teachers. You are all called as God's priest to serve His people in the generation you have, to serve His Israel, to serve about the holy things. Second, the work of the Levites was a work appointed to them by their Lord. No man takes this work upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Can you imagine others making sockets and coverings and vessels and setting up another tabernacle? Many do who are not called of God. And they set up another worship, another tabernacle, another God, and another Jesus. God's servants are sent working together as the people appointed of God to proclaim the gospel of His grace. Each one, each pastor, each preacher, each member is chosen of God. Appointed of God to a specific work. Appointed for a specific time. He's gifted for that work. He's gifted for that purpose. He's ordained to do it for a specific time. These Levites were to serve from 20 years old to 50 years old. Why such a brief period of time? I'm sorry, from 30 years old to 50 years old. Why such a brief period of time? He's telling us that those who serve God with the maturity of manly faith. They serve God with purpose and determination. Yes, we're called of God, we're gifted of God, we're sent of God. We have faith because God gives us faith. But we're here because we want to be. And we do what we do because we want to. We worship Him because we want to worship Him. We serve Him because we want to serve Him. You, my brother, you, my sister, have a charge laid upon you from God. I don't have any idea what it is. I don't have any idea what it is. I would not pretend to tell you what it is. But God created you and put you where you are with the gifts and abilities you have for a purpose. Find for yourself what God would have you to do and do it. With all your might. Do it for the glory of God. Do it for Christ's sake. Be ready always to do what God would have you to do at the drop of a hat. I mean that. At the drop of a hat. Ready to do what God would have you to do. Pastors, being called to preach the gospel, ought to heed what we're taught here in Leviticus. God has a place for a man. And He gifts that man for that place. Fits him for that place. and he's unfit for any other place. I'll tell you a story I don't think I've ever shared with you. Several years ago, there's been, 20, 25 years ago, maybe more, at least 25 years ago, I had a call from some folks out in the Bay Area in San Francisco and asked if I would consider coming out to pastor the church. And I said, no, I'm where I need to be. And I had no question about that. I said, I'll be happy to help you. I'll be happy to come out and preach for you and help you get a pastor. They said, well, how big's your church? I said, I don't know. I guess we have about 35, 40 people who are members of the church. They said, man, we got over 600 members. I said, that doesn't matter to me. They said, what do they pay you? I said, what they're able to. Well, we can do this. That doesn't matter to me. I'm where I need to be. But I thought I would have a little phone with my daughter. She was in school over at University of Kentucky. So I called her that evening. And I said, Faith, it's a church out in San Francisco that's been asked me to come be their pastor. And your mom and I have been praying about this, and I think we're going to do that. By the time I got that out, Faith started to laugh out loud. She said, Dad, you wouldn't last 5 minutes in San Francisco. And I said, you're right. I just thought I could get it by with her for a little bit. No, I wouldn't. No, I would. I've been made of God to serve here. I'm interested in no other place. You are made of God to serve where God puts you, in the place where you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul speaks, and he said, if you're called being a servant, don't care for that. Serve God where you are. He says to me and Jimmy, who are called of God as slaves, he said, don't pay attention to that. Serve God as slaves. Serve God where you are. That's our business. Serve him readily and serve him cheerfully. Here's the third thing. These Levites were united in all things. The Gershonites were not jealous of the fellows who were from the family of Merari. They were not jealous of the folks from Kohath's family. They all served God together. They all worked under the guiding will of God, by the Spirit of God, for the honor and glory of God, for the benefit of God's people. Their burdens were different, but their aim was one. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It is the same God which worketh in all. They sought the good of the Lord's house, the kingdom of God, by each one using the gifts trusted to him. As God's steward, we show the manifold grace of God serving Christ together. Years ago, someone suggested that if the Lord were to send two angels into this world, one to rule the mightiest empire on the earth, and the other to sweep the streets in that empire, it wouldn't matter one whit which he was sent to do. God teach me to serve him just that way, where he's put me, for his glory according to his will. One more thing. The Levites were rewarded for their work. The Lord became to them their portion and their inheritance. They had no inheritance among the children of Israel. God said, I will be their portion. I am their possession, saith the Lord. Those who consecrate themselves to the work of God find their all in him. They that wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. They that wait on the Lord are partakers with him. His mercy, his grace, his strength. And at last they will hear him say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I got done preparing this message, just a little while ago. And I sat back and scratched my head and began to wonder. I wonder what God might do with one congregation of Levites. People utterly devoted to Christ. Utterly devoted to the gospel. Utterly devoted to the glory of God. Utterly devoted to the will of God. Utterly devoted to the people of God. And I ask God to do this. Make me such a Levite. More and more with every day, with every hour, with every breath. To readily, willingly give myself to this blessed, blessed work. It's called the work of Christ. The work of Christ. The fulfilling the will of God. Doing the things of God for the glory of God. Oh, what an honor. What a privilege if God would allow you to do that. If God would give us grace so to serve Him. Amen.